All right, I'm going to read a little passage from the Word of God, and we'll go through this story one more time. But before we do, it's always a good idea, and I find even when I am kind of trying to devotionally read the Word of the Lord, I don't know what happens when you try to read the Bible, but I find when I sit down and try to read the Bible, my brain is often running 1,000 different directions, and I will sit and try to read and just bear down and I'm just distracted. I find that I need to ask God to help me focus a little bit before I do. Let's do that. Let's just talk to God for a minute before we go to His Word. God, this time belongs to You. All of our time belongs to You. But we're about to approach Your Word. It's the way that You want to talk to us and the stuff that You need to say to us, specifically for today. And we trust that Your Word has a lot to say, that You need to teach us and encourage us and fill us and maybe say some hard things to us and whatever it is that needs to happen today. Would you get us ready for that? And for whatever these moments hold today, just prepare us. Prepare us to receive whatever it is. And thank You for all of the for all the places that You have brought us to, for all the noises of this room, and just make us able to receive whatever it is that we need to receive. Help us to just be able to take it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So you already heard one version of this story this morning. This one is from Mark chapter 11. Again, it's the same story, but just listen for the word of the Lord. This is Mark chapter 11, the first few verses. As they approached Jerusalem, this is a whole bunch of people, Jesus included. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples, His followers, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Well, the Lord needs it, and He'll send it back here shortly.' So they went, and they found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, He sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' This is the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, Hosanna, we have sung. How many different songs that have had that word in it this morning? Is it all of them? All of them. And most of them have it in the title, but all of them have the word in the song because it's a big deal word for today. Palm Sunday is like, it is the anchor word for Palm Sunday. It's the thing that everybody is shouting. Hosanna! Hosanna! This word and this phrase and this celebration comes out of some language from, it's from Psalm 118. You can go back and find that. Pretty much the whole Palm Sunday story comes out of Psalm 118. And Pastor Jeff alluded to this a few minutes ago, but there are a couple of ways to translate it's a mashup of words, Hosanna. So what happens in Hebrew, there are words, and then they add prefixes and suffixes to make those words mean different things. So Hosanna means one of a couple of different things. It can mean please save us, which is why, and this is the sort of governing version of this, or it can be more of a declarative. So like this is what you'd call an imperative, like a please save me, like an ask. Or it can be more of a declarative statement that says, that's saying that someone has saved you, like, you have saved us. So it could be a statement about the one that they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, like, you have saved us, it's the saving one. Or you could be saying, please do the thing, please do the saving. And it's complicated because it's a sort of a squished together version of some consonants and vowels, and you're not sure exactly which one it's doing, but it really doesn't matter because he's the Lord and he came to save, right? Can we all agree that it's pretty much the same thing? Either way, it's a recognition of Jesus as the Lord when he comes in there. It's the one who is saving, somehow. So this parade that's happening through Jerusalem is a parade about one who saves. One capable of affecting salvation. That'd be the fancy way of putting that. And as such, he's given this red carpet treatment. In the passage that we read, and they don't all say it this way, a lot of them will have the waving of palms in the air. More like if you would see a military welcome with the sword, the little tunnel with the swords, where they were holding palm branches in the sky and he's kind of going underneath of them. Some of that happened in the video that we saw. The passage we just read from Mark, they're putting cloaks and whatever on the ground. I don't know how many of you watch any of those award shows anymore, but think red carpet treatment. That's what's happening. They're putting anything and everything on the ground. Branches and coats and clothes, and they're pulling rugs out of the house and whatever it is. Just don't get your feet dirty, Lord, because you're super important and we want you to not dash your foot against a stone. We don't want anything to be in the way of you. We're paving the road for you. Red carpet treatment for the most important person they've ever met. It's all the same kind of stuff. But the one who's coming, you know, if there is a king riding into town, kings ride into town on war horses. Did you happen to notice what Jesus rode into town on? I mean, this is a loner. Yeah, he came in bouncing on the back of a borrowed beast of burden. You like that alliteration? He borrowed somebody else's donkey. This is a borrowed donkey. Kings don't do this sort of thing. So this is not exactly your conventional hero's parade. Not for a saving person. Not for one who's coming to bring salvation. You wouldn't expect them to come on in a rental car. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. They're not bringing Uber. They would come in something fancy. You can hear the echoes. If you know the rest of Jesus' story, can you hear the echoes of that accusation that comes a little bit further down the road of people saying, how can he save others? He can't even get his own stinking animal to come into town. He's borrowing somebody else's beast. How can he save others? He can't even save himself. That is one of the things that will be said to him within a few days. You can kind of hear it echoing backwards. So there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between the people at the parade and what they think of the dude on the back of the donkey and what's actually happening. There's this, you look at the scene and you go, wait a second, do they really get it? And if we read the story, we go, no, they didn't. We know now they absolutely did not get it. They didn't understand. They had no idea. They're celebrating Jesus as a conquering king. And he wasn't coming to be a conquering king. He was coming to Jerusalem to be murdered. He was coming to die. And they thought he was coming to take over. Completely different expectations. But here's the thing. You see, they did understand that they were welcoming a savior, one who could save them, didn't they? They got the what? I mean, Jesus is the Savior, right? It is in his name. This is literally what Jesus' name means. You should name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's literally, like, if you looked up, if you got his little bookmark out of the store at the checkout, this is what his bookmark would say: Jesus, the Lord saves. That's what his name means. Be next to your, I don't know what your name means, but those kind. They knew they were welcoming one who saves. So when they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were welcoming a Savior, and they were right. They got that part right. They got the what. Now, friends, and I know not all of you have been here every week that we've been here doing this thing, but these little thought bubbles behind us have represented some of the last several sermons that we've had. These are all of the hints that Jesus has dropped along the way through the course of our Lent sermon series, but through the course of Jesus' life. That's the first words that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Mark. He said, the time has come. First words out of his mouth. And then through his life, he tried to tell people who he was and what he came to do. Tried to tell people what would happen eventually. And Jesus, who they're celebrating as the saving one, and they got the what, but they missed the how. All of this other stuff. He said, the time has come. But they missed that he would need to suffer and die. They thought they didn't get that part. The rise again can't happen unless he suffers and dies. And they completely missed that he would need to take the curse of being lifted on a tree for us. They missed the whole reason for his life, which was to face the trouble of the hour of the cross. They completely missed the how. The saving that they were celebrating was going to come in a very, very different way than they expected. But when I read that story to you from Mark, do you anywhere in there see Jesus scolding them for, like, missing it? You see Jesus wagging a finger at people and saying, you dolts. Have you listened to anything I said? You're celebrating me. There's this big parade. Do you know what's going to happen on Thursday night? Not once. Jesus just sits on the back of the donkey as the focal point of the parade and lets the parade happen. He accepts the parade and the praise that happens. He listens to the hosannas, and he allows those expressing those hosannas to express them. And this morning, we join the crowds from that first Palm Sunday, and all the Palm Sundays that have happened since then, crying, Hosanna! Because we realize that the Lord saves. The Lord still saves. And we hope that he will still save. We still want him to save what we feel like still needs saving in us. And we know if the Lord doesn't save us, who will? So we wave and we place our palm branches and whatever else it'll take. And we sing and celebrate and proclaim the victorious march of the King. But we recognize, because we can, we've got the rest of the story in the Word of God. We recognize the rest of the story, that our Lord's saving won't all be happy parades and red carpet award ceremonies. It will come at a great cost and more than a little trouble and suffering. And friends, isn't it comforting to know that the Lord who saves is big enough and important enough to deserve all of the praise of the parade? That's rhetorical. The answer is yes. And isn't it good to offer that praise to one that we know won't scold us for praising him too narrowly, but will just accept whatever worship it is that we offer him from whatever place we're in, that we can just offer him praise, even if we don't understand or have the right perspective, we can just praise him from wherever we are, and he'll just accept that praise such as it is. And is it not a total game changer that the Lord who saves understands what it's like to live and to suffer and to struggle, even up to facing death as a human? Not just a God who, like, rules from on high, from afar somewhere. Our God knows what it's like to be us. He's walked not just a mile, but decades in shoes just like ours. And he knows. Is that not a game changer for us? Friends, the next 7 days in Jesus' story are the most important days in human history. And throughout them ring echoes, not just of Jesus' hints about who he is, about who he was and who we know him to be, but of who everyone had discovered him to be. The Lord who had come to save. And to that we say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. From wherever you are, whatever your limited perspective may be, however limited it may feel, we say together, Hosanna. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to and accepting our praise such as it is, for allowing us to be present at a parade that is so much bigger than us, for allowing us to step towards you. God, help us to walk through the coming days as we remember your trials, and as we face our own trials of this coming week, that we might find victory in all of them. That as we know our own struggles and trials and frustrations, we can know that you are with us in them as one who has faced your own, and as one who has overcome the world. You are the one who saves. Who saves, who saves, who saves from all. And for that we praise you. And we want to be with you. Thank you for saving us. Hosanna. Amen.